Hi. Welcome to Be the Evidence podcast with Susan Grace and Aubrey Mast. We are so grateful that you are here, that you're curious, that you're engaging, that you are questioning, and that you are showing up for conversations around consciousness and liberation and making changes that may not fit inside the box that we once lived. It truly makes that work easier for all of us with each and every one of us doing it and showing up for it. So thank you deeply. Susan and I feel very called to furthering these conversations and furthering the evolution of consciousness. So we have created a community-based forum that's called BeTheEvidence.live. You can find it at www.BeTheEvidence.live. And in this forum, it is jam-packed with all of the tools and the support that Susan and I personally use to get us through navigating these changes in energies. So when you become a member, you get access to Susan texting astrological changes as they happen and giving us handlebars to hold on to so we can navigate those changes in energies. There's also daily astrology readings that are done for the collective consciousness that are tapped in to what the energies are exposing that day. There's also presence practices that are very similar to the things that you hear coming up in the podcast, with actual rituals to use. And there are recipes that help support the changes, whether it be detoxifying or cleansing or grounding into your body, to help your body adjust to the astrological changes as well. There are guided meditations there for you to plug into and listen to whenever you want. They help ground you into this experience of being a human being with amongst all of these changes. There are also daily tarot cards pulled to help give another way of navigating the changes. Susan and I also host weekly live calls for all the members. We recently just did a 2019 overview for all of our members, and we covered the eclipses and the retrogrades and the nodes. And that is really a way that we connect with all of the members and give them a platform and give ourselves a platform for understanding what are the energies that are being exposed and how do we navigate them? How do we surf these waves? If this is something that interests you, we would love to see you. You're welcome to join us at any point in time. We're really grateful that you're showing up in any and every way that you do. Thank you. Enjoy the podcast. Happy day.
Yeah, I can't believe it's Monday again.
I mean, I can. That time period between talking with you and our members on Friday to now feels like such a long
right.
I'm like, yeah. How did it take me to get back to talking to Susan?
Yeah, it's a long stretch.
It is.
And I think it's we're kind of in a weird pocket too. So we're in Sun and Mercury and are together in Aquarius, which creates a feeling of people, things. It feels like things are far away,
mm-hmm.
right? Which can help. It helps you to keep in mind the long game and where you're going, being able to see forward. But also immediately in front of us, Sun is going into, it's going into the third decan of Scorpio. It's going to light up a grand trine water with Chiron now at 29 Pisces and North Node at 26 Cancer. So immediately, in the immediacy, lots of intense emotions, mostly about unresolved healing. Mm-hmm. Things that are still hurting. Things that are still open, unresolved. But at the same time, to be able to be somewhat detached, and I think to think through the fact that you do need to go ahead and heal these things up, and it is doable. You just have to figure it out.
Right.
So we have enough fire. I think I was telling you a second ago, we have enough fire going on that I think can burn off some of this water. It's Mars and Aries. It's trining into Jupiter and Venus in Sagittarius. So I think there's a motivation to reach for more, to keep moving forward. But the emotions are going to be, they're pretty intense. By the time this goes up, the moon will go into Sagittarius, so that'll add more fire to it.
I think the fire piece is really important, and also like the detachment. And I also think that knowing what's going on makes it the wave surfable. You know, I think this is part of the reason why we do what we do on BeTheEvidence.live, where our members know what's happening when it's happening, because it's easy in these energies of like high emotions to feel off kilter. You know, like when you are having doubt come up, when you're having trust issues come up, when you're having old memories and old patterns around like, well, who am I to think that I could do that? Those are big emotional, like, I mean, it's really easy to succumb to it, you know,
right.
Like, and to take that long game with it and be like, actually, sweetheart, you know better. You don't have to go into doubt. You don't have to have the story of your brokenness. Like, you don't have to believe that you're not worthy of trusting yourself. It's nice to know that there's other people that are in that same space as you, obviously, because we're all under the same sky, but also to like be able to interact with those people, you know?
I think it helps to know that it's not personal, that right. Life or the energies or the astrology or whatever is not picking on you in particular.
Right.
It's super emotional right now. We do have a good amount of fire, which I think helps. And there's detachment. And there's also a feeling of needing to keep walking forward. That Saturn and Pluto in Capricorn. It's like you have to walk forward, but you have to move boulders out of the way to do it.
It completely feels like that. This weekend I went climbing for a little bit. And it was like, normally rock climbing, there's a place where you're like easy holds, like you move easily, but it felt like that struggle of like, I don't know if I can reach to that, right? Like in it, like energetically, it feels like that. Of like, I have to keep moving forward. You have to keep propelling yourself forward in this mission of hope and possibility. And there's big things that are still in the way of that movement that you're like having to forcefully move out of the way. It's like that energy of like moving molasses, right? Like it's heavy, there's resistance to it. And yet it's also really worthwhile.
I think it's interesting that you bring up rock climbing, because Capricorn is that's the goat,
right?
That goes, that climbs up the side of the mountain. And when you're rock climbing, if you hold on to whatever holds that you found that were relatively easy to find and you just stay there, yep. It's really difficult to reach for the next hold because you don't have momentum swinging you forward.
Exactly.
Right? Like you can try and strong arm it, but it's hard.
Oh, it's really
like the trick to rock climbing is to keep a nimble amount of momentum going so yep. That you keep swinging up to the next hold.
Yep.
Right. So the longer you stay still, the more like, unless you're, the more that you're wearing out your muscles, you're trying to strong arm it when yep. Really you should be, not should, but it's easier to use momentum on your side. It's not a race,
no.
But it's flow.
It's flow. It's entering the state of flow, which is, I think, why I love rock climbing so much, just because you have, it's all mental, right? Like my son, one time I took him climbing and he was like, Mama, climbing is like life. And ever since
yeah, it is.
He said that, I'm like, yes, this is exactly it. Like anything that gets in my way, like I have to figure strategically out how to get around it, how to keep myself moving forward, because that stalemate is where your muscles exhaust and burn out, you know? It's really a beautiful analogy of, I think, a lot of the energies that we are in. Of like, it can be really hard to swing yourself into a really hard grip or a hard hold. And it's also really worthwhile. The triumph that you experience from doing so makes you feel a lot prouder of yourself. And it's also really easy to go back into like, I can't reach that. There's no way I can surely get that hold. There's no way I will tap out of this climb. Like there's just no way that's going to happen. It's easy for that to come up. And it's also a beautiful, I think, teaching and perseverance. When we were out, there's this big, big boulders in the side of the mountain. And there's trees growing through the boulders. And it was like, I kept saying, like, this is just like this example of perseverance. How do you choose to persevere against all odds? I think it's such a beautiful motivation of what we're currently in, of like, there's high emotions and you're taking the long end game approach. And how are you choosing to persevere against everything that comes up?
Have you ever like gotten ready to do something? And it's so scary because you don't know how it's going to land. You don't know where the next foot is going to go. You don't know where the next place you're going to grab onto, but you just have to go. Mm-hmm. Go do it. And then you get to the other side and you're like, well, I'm glad I didn't stay there. Wow. All I had to do is keep moving.
Yeah.
All you got to do is keep moving. Mm-hmm. I mean, do it, keep to continue to move forward, even though you're scared or you're hurt or you've got a cramp or you're running out of water. Or you don't know how much further this fucking rock is going to go. It just keeps going.
Right.
To just keep going. Just keep moving. You don't need to worry about how exactly is this whole thing going to go down. Because you don't know.
Right.
You don't know. You have to maintain momentum and make new placements based on where you are in real time.
Yeah, I think it's really... I love this conversation because it's... I've been reading a lot for my for school about resiliency and what makes certain people resilient and what other people do not have the strength of resiliency, or why that's like genetically not part of their backbone, right? And a lot of the studies that I've been looking at are about like how people that have a very strong sense of resiliency will look at fear and go, oh, that means I'm alive. That means I'm still capable of changing and choosing and adapting and creating more perseverance, right? And of using, I think, it's that fire energy to me of like, how can you harness that fear to keep propelling you forward to the next hold, to the next step, to the place where you're like, I still haven't made it out, but I'm still moving forward. I'm not going backward. I'm not stuck, right? I think there's some capabilities in that it's easy to forget that when fear is that strong in your face and you're literally in the terror of, I don't know if I can go forward with this, to know that on the other side of it, there is this sense of accomplishment and purpose and reward and validation and pride that you get to experience. But it doesn't make walking through the fire of fear like that much easier. You know, like it's still... scary.
Yeah. I mean, biologically we have fear present within us to keep us alive.
Right.
But that has seeped over into everything about life.
Right.
I'm afraid to go outside. I'm afraid to get in a car. I'm afraid to wear something other than black.
Right.
All kinds of things. But I think there's a difference between feeling your vulnerability, walking towards something that feels like an unknown, and an actual threat that you should be afraid of. Like, fear of the unknown is not a reason to stop.
Right.
Fear of the unknown is not trying to tell you you're not safe. It's. I think it's a very strong awareness of how vulnerable we are, mm-hmm. and being willing to keep walking forward anyway, to grow into it.
Right.
Right. To expand into it, to fill up the space. Mm-hmm. To look around and absorb what's in the unknown. Because you already know what's already in your head. That's already there. That is already accomplished. Check it off the box. What you don't know is what's unfolding in front of you. So I think that it's taking a sense of vulnerability as a challenge to expand and grow into the space. And a curiosity mm-hmm. about what you don't know. And believing in yourself. You and I were talking earlier today when I was talking about how fear of being attacked
often
stops people from putting themselves out there. And I don't think it's correct to say, well, maybe they won't attack me. No, they probably will, because mm-hmm. people are weird. Being willing to go forward and believe in yourself so much that if you're like, well, if I'm attacked, I'll be fine. I've got a strong support system. I know when to ask for help. And I've got my own back. I believe in myself. It's fine. They can go ahead and attack me. Still going to do it.
it's staying in your own lane and actually managing your energy, right? Like managing that. We don't have examples outwardly of lots of people living extremely vulnerable lives. We don't. Like that, we don't have a society that replicates that. We do not have, most individuals do not replicate, what does it look like to be authentically vulnerable and to manage my energy, to be so vulnerable in who I am, what are my strengths, where I'm going, what I believe, what my capabilities are, how's relationships, how I show up for work, that it doesn't matter what energy gets thrown at us. It doesn't matter what words get thrown at us. It doesn't matter what attacks we withstand, because our energy centers are so crystal clear that we're unwaverable, that we are not impacted by that. That's whole new territory, uncharted territory that I think we're all being like called towards, pulled towards.
So it's so hard. Yeah. It's so hard because you can't tell yourself, and we certainly can't tell anybody else, you're not going to hurt. It's not going to feel uncomfortable. You're not going to get attacked. Things happen. And often things happen on purpose to show you where you've got some places to heal that you haven't been looking at, and being willing to look at those too. Mm-hmm. Loving yourself even when you have to go, oh fuck, I thought I cleaned this out. I didn't. Ugh.
Right.
And loving yourself there too, and being like, me, we got it. Yep. We'll do it. It's all right. Might have to apologize a few times. Be honest about where I am and how I need help. Whatever it is, you're lovable there too.
Yeah, I think it also deepens authenticity, right? Like I was taking a yoga training, and one of the biggest takeaways I took from doing this weekend training was not actually about the yoga practice. It was about coming as an instructor in front of your students and being incredibly authentic with where you are. Because your energy can be read, even if your words are not read. Of being like, you know what? I was out till 2 a.m. I got in an argument with my partner. Like, I feel like shit. And here I am authentically saying, like, this is my practice. And using that as part of life. Like, we're constantly requested to ditch this mentality of, oh, I've got to be perfect. I have to have it all together. It always has to be, like, managed and controlled, and I have to deliver this package deal of who I am, what I believe, how I receive life. And we're afraid a little bit to be in the mess of it all, into the chaos of it all, right? But that's also where like the richness is. That's where all of the goods exist, especially if we can authentically meet them with, I'm struggling. Like, I thought I cleaned this out, and here it is back again in another manner. Because it shows our humanness and that we are evolving, right?
I did that one time whenever I was in the corporate world. I was interviewing to hire an assistant for myself. Mm-hmm. And I hadn't done that before. I was new at being in an executive. I didn't know how to do that. And I was nervous. And I mean, before the applicants even got there, I could feel my face turning red. Uh-huh. And sweating a lot. And like, oh God. I don't know what to say. Right. Hi. Whatever. And so I just decided I'm not going to get out of this. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to be able to get out of this. I'm going to look like I'm nervous. I know I am. Yeah. I'm not going to be able to fake it. I turn bright red whenever I'm nervous. Mm-hmm. And I can't undo it. So I just decided to be honest. I'm like, I've never done this before. I'm totally nervous. So there you go.
That's what it is.
And they're like, and a couple of them were like, we'll get there together. It's okay.
Yeah. Like,
okay, good. You got to, if you'll just be honest, if you'll show up honest about who you are, what you know about yourself, and be okay with it. You don't have to be anyone other than yourself. Right. If you're hurting, you're hurting. If you're mad, you're mad. If you're insecure, you're insecure. Do it anyway.
Yeah. I think that's when the ground comes up to meet you. Like this morning, I went to teach my class at university. And my son is sick, and I took his temperature, like a forward thinking person, 2 minutes before I was supposed to walk out the door, you know, like I showed up at class right after, like, the if there was a bell in university, the bell would have rung and was like, oh yeah, now I'm this professor, here we go. And instead of, like, doing that whole, like, just charge ahead, I'm going to have this game face of, like, okay, and now here's the content. I took 5 minutes and was like, look, here's what it is. Like, my son was sick. I was off my game. I rushed here. I'm feeling a little frantic. I just need to take a couple of minutes to come back into my body, because otherwise, whatever I teach you guys, whatever I share with you today, is not going to be received, because I'm not even being present with the information. I'm not being present with this experience, and it's impacting it. And it's such a beautiful thing, I think, when you choose those moments of authentic vulnerability to see how people rise up and they're like, okay, we'll get through this with you together.
Right.
We'll take some deep breaths with you. It's almost as if you create this platform where everybody else is like, oh, I will come up to join you. And the people that don't. And that has nothing to do with you, you know? But it's a beautiful experience to watch how many other people, I think, are thirsty as well for authentic vulnerability and what that really looks like to be an authentic human being in the world, and that there's mess to it. There's wabi-sabi. There's like that knowing that if there's imperfections, and in the imperfections, there is the richness, there is the depth, there is the expanse.
And you can feel the release in the room.
Yes.
When you're honest, you're like, hang on, I need a minute. Everyone goes, me too. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody can go, oh, we're going to be real. Great. Oh, good. Because it takes so much effort to posture, to act like you're someone you're not, to be in denial, to stone yourself. It's not worth it. You might as well be yourself and let things happen.
Yeah. And even if that means owning the emotions as they come up, or owning, you know, like that Mars and Aries and that fire energy, right? Of like, this is just what it is. I lost my tongue. I'm sorry. I lashed out. And like, is that okay? No, but that's what happened. Like, that was my human reaction to being frustrated and aggravated. Can I learn from that? Yes, I can. But that's part of me being a human. I have to figure it out. I'm going to stumble along. I'm going to push one boulder and another one might come down at me, and I'm going to have to handle that one. Like, there is such permission in just being human and having that experience.
I mean, being on your own side, even when you fuck up, even whenever you're being out of character, even when you've caused harm and you didn't realize you were, loving yourself there too and being like, no, okay, now here's what you're going to do. You're going to get your ass in there and apologize. That's what you're going to do. Mm-hmm. And you go, okay, self. I mean, like, being on your own side, no matter where there's unresolved hurts or unawareness or impacts that you didn't see coming, being like, it's still okay. Mm-hmm. It's still okay. Be here. Even whenever you're like, this looks kind of ugly. Yeah. Uh-huh. Some parts of life aren't pretty.
Yeah.
And you want that too. You want that too. Otherwise we're robots.
Yeah. I think that's always like, sort of how I view parenting. Because it's this constant unfolding, right? There's always these stages, and everybody's like, oh, that was that the terrible twos. That was the worst stage. Well, I mean, I've got a 5-year-old, and there's times that are not that pretty with him either. Like, I mean, I feel like this is just part of it. Or when you have a newborn and you're not sleeping for weeks at a time, like it's this constant unfolding. And when you can appreciate or learn to look at, like, it's all part of the process. It's all part of this process. And I'm equally part of the process. It's not that I'm watching the process take place outside of me. I am participating in it. And that means if I can cultivate compassion for other people that are going through the process, or children that are going through it, then I can also hopefully cultivate compassion for myself. And like that, I think that's like that long-term view that we're trying to take, right?
Yeah, you and I parent very similar. And you know this feeling, like, you and I are very honest with our sons. Yes. And if we raise our voice or if we get frustrated, we come back and we're like, I got impatient. I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. I apologize. We can do better. Mm-hmm. Let's work on this together. being honest, even with our kids, especially with our kids. I remember before I had a child, I had high anxiety about being a mother, thinking I had to be perfect all the time. Mm-hmm. But then the reality is that this is a human. It's not a story. It's not a painting. It's not bullshit. It's an actual human that you have a relationship with. And it requires a lot of honesty.
Mm-hmm. And I think that honesty starts with yourself. And I think it's a process. Like I told you that I may have told you this on in the podcast or off mic, I don't remember. Either way, I'm in a mindfulness class right now, in a mind-body class. And so every week we have to do a new mindfulness or self-care technique. And then we have to reflect on it and write a paper. And so it is, the practice this week was about mindfully breathing and how you physiologically respond to it, like how my heart rate slows down, how my lungs deepen their breath, right? But then also how you mentally and emotionally respond to it. And I think there is such potency in this practice of how do we and how can we deepen our honesty in all realms, whether it's, hey, I was deep breathing and the whole entire time I was seething mad because somebody cut me off on my way to the meditation center. I'm freaking pissed still about it, right? Like if being honest of like, yeah, that really bothered me. Or mentally, like I tried to do this practice in my office. What I quickly realized is that I cannot deep breathe in my office because what's around me in my office? My computer and all the things that I have to get done. It's not a place for me to, like, oh, I can come back into my body, right? And like to recognize too, if we're tuning into our humanness, that we don't have to judge. That is a choice we get to make of like, judging ourselves is a choice that we make. And a lot of us have been programmed to judge the shit out of ourselves from the moment we were born forward, right? Like that's just how we operate. And recognizing that every time we acknowledge those stories and those patterns and the rawness, the vulnerability, the discomfort, the chaos that can ensue from our process of being human, that gives us enough space, that Aquarius like space to be like, and now what do you want to choose? Where is there's such potency there of, well, you have enough space to take a deep breath and go, and how do I want to shift this? Is this working for me?
Right. It's the experience of being alive, and every experience we have informs the next experience we're going to have. Right. And so I think you have to be honest and present within the experience, even if it's ugly. Mm-hmm.